Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to Dishin' Days, where we're serving up a full dish of this week's episodes of Peacock's exclusive number one award-winning hit soap opera, Days of Our Lives. I'm your host, Tony Moore, and I am joined by my gaggle of gals.
Hi, Mike Mattis. Michael Mattis, how are you?
Hey, guys. Justin Lee Harold here.
And I'm Araceli Aviles.
And there we are, everyone. We did that perfectly. It only took a week off for us to get it right. We are back, everybody, after a whirlwind at Day of Days last week, but we could not, would not come back at least one more time before the it makes it sound like we're about to take a break, but the holidays are coming up, so we're not going to be here next week because it's y'all going to be stuffed on turkey, but we're going to come back and give you this dish and then let you dish on your favorite Thanksgiving stuff. Anyway, if you're watching us live, thank you guys so much for tuning in live. And if you are watching us later, we appreciate you too. Either way, do not forget to follow us on all social media platforms. We are Dishin' Days Show on Facebook, Dishin' Days on Instagram, and just plain old Dishin' Days on Twitter. The @ is currently kidnapped by Xander. If you are a wonderful like podcast listener, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast stations. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Just simply type in Dishin' Days and you'll hear our lovely voices giving you a full dish of what happened on Peacock's Days of Our Lives. We also, you can also find us on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. If you're listening to us on the podcast and you want to see our faces, head on over to Dishin' Days on YouTube and hit the subscribe button. If you're watching us currently on YouTube and you haven't hit the subscribe button, what you waiting for? Go ahead and click it. So that way you don't miss the opportunity of going live with us. And also, don't forget, buy our merch. That's right. We got merchandise for you. So make sure you make sure you purchase it. I hate you, Mike Mattis. We have all of these different logos that can be applied to towels, t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, whatever you like, we have for you. Head on over to dishindays.threadless.com to purchase your merch today. Before we get started on a recap of Days of Our Lives, we first and foremost are going to start off with a couple of things. But first and foremost, we want to send our love and healing to the families and victims of the shooting at Club Q in Colorado Springs. Terrible news to wake up to this morning. And we just hope and pray that those families and those victims and those who are still, you know, in the hospital and trying to get over wounds and things, that they get the healing and love that they need. So big shout out and hugs to them. That's that. We also want to give our love, thoughts, and prayers to the Aniston family. As you guys know, last weekend we lost John Aniston. Victor Kiriakis was a sad loss for the soap community, for the daytime community, for the Days of Our Lives family. So we just want to send our love, our thoughts, to not only John's family, but also his Days family as well. So rest in peace, John Aniston, and thank you for the many decades and your talents as Victor Kiriakis. There will never be anyone as snarky as sassy as Victor.
So I like his, whoever gave him whatever that is on the door. Shut up.
Once I saw that, I was like, this is the picture we should use. And I guess I'm sure you guys have seen though. I've been loving the tributes from everyone. And the running theme seems to be like, he very much was snarky like that in person, not to other people, but snarky in the sense of always telling good jokes and wanting to sort of be the life of the party. So that was really nice to see everyone sort of shared that about him. And that was the common theme about John. Yeah.
Yeah. So rest in peace, kind sir. Speaking of last weekend, we had Day of Days, which was a whirlwind. What did you guys, how did you guys feel? Especially Justin and Araceli, your first day of days. What did you think about it?
You go, Araceli.
I just thought it was so much fun. You know, Tony was separated from us for most of the day, but we got to check in throughout. And it was really, really nice to connect with everyone, to reconnect. We have a couple of, you know, other friends in the soap community and the press. We're kind of a small cohort, so we all kind of know each other. And it's good to reconnect with everybody in person. It was really good to kind of come back, not only in person, but now under the Peacock umbrella, and see what's the name of the game this time around. You know, how are things going to come back? How is it going to be? And the common theme that everybody had to say, and you can see this in our playlists from the interviews throughout the day, was that everybody just felt so well taken care of. Mm-hmm. They felt really, really appreciated by the fans, by Peacock. It felt not just like a resurgence coming back into like the land of the living, our first day of days, mine and Justin's first day of days, but their first day of days coming back. But it really felt like this is almost like a, who described it to me, like a tune-up kind of thing. Like, oh, you don't, you know, this is it, what it's old, but it's new again. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I guess I had an amazing time from start to finish. It was such, and I think I remarked this to both Michael and Araceli, it was such a contrast to say something like the Emmys in our experience there, that this was just, it was like night and day. It was just, I had an amazing time. It was great connecting with our Days family. A lot of them we haven't seen in person, some we have, but it was nice to make that sort of face-to-face connection and to meet a lot of them firsthand for a lot. I thought they were great sports with us in our interviews. I know, Tony, you had some fun with them on stage. Michael, you got some amazing pictures. Yeah, it was just all around was a great experience. Thank you to Days Peacock for taking care of us in every sense of the word. I think we felt very taken care of, and we felt that we were definitely given a lot of respect and a lot of, a lot of respect, I'll say. Yeah, yeah. Just the way we were taken care of and how we were being responded to, and the way they just sort of ushered everyone over to us and recognized us. And so it was nice to get that sort of feedback, not only from the actors, but also from behind the scenes as well. So yeah, fans, if you have an opportunity to come to Day of Days, please do. I know this one was a little bit short notice. Hopefully the others will sort of get back on track in terms of planning, but please come out and support. It's always a great time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, was definitely an upgrade over previous years in terms of just the space it was had, the space that was held at, and the organization of it. I know it was last minute, but I meant the organization at the event. Just seemed a little more streamlined, I guess, and everyone seemed in a good mood. No one was like, oh God, we're still here, or we got to do this, or no one acted like it was a chore. Everybody seemed to be enjoying themselves, and all of the anxiety about, oh, it's a new venue, it's downtown, what's it going to be like, it's Peacock, mm-hmm. like, you know, was gone by the end of the day.
Oh, so, yeah. And like, and some tidbits, there were some people that had to kind of come in and out because of scheduling conflicts. And it seemed like they made a really concerted effort to get them in and out according to their schedules. It was that, you know, that's not something that is always done. Yeah. And so that I was really impressed by that.
Yeah. There were some things that I liked that they did for the fans, like the little donuts that they had from Sweet Bits. I thought that was a great touch. Mm-hmm. The bag of goodies that they had, which came with like a visor, a water bottle. I feel like there was something.
It was like an autographed like
card holder.
The card holder for all the cards that they were getting with the autographs. I thought that was great. They were giving away Roku Expresses because Roku Express sponsored part of the giveaways. So people got to, you know, just participate in trivia and get a Roku Express, so that way they can download Peacock and be able to watch Days. They also had like a table set up so that if anyone wasn't signed up for Peacock or had questions about Peacock, there were people there that that were ready. The day players performed. They did like a short set as opposed to the longer set that they did on Sunday. There was just a lot of like really like cool things that I feel like that they did. Even just like, you know, walking in, it was just nicely set up. Everything was just right there. As opposed to at Universal Studios when they had it, like everything was so spread out. Mm-hmm. So with the main stage, you know, being there and being able to look out and see all the different stations where all the different stars were, I think it felt more like, okay, we're all here together. And whether you're standing in line, whether you're sitting at the main stage or just coming in, you still felt a part of the whole experience. You guys, of course, were in the hotel doing all the press stuff.
Which was a much better, nicer setup. Well, I mean, they did what they did at Universal, and they made as good a use of the space as they could in all of the venues. But this, I will say, it was, being at that hotel was a lot nicer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it reminded me of when the days when I used to be at Comic-Con, because that's how the setup is when you cover Comic-Con, is that all of the interviews are up in the presses and in the hotel rooms. And so it's security in there is tight. And that was the common thing that all the actors were surprised by. I was like, you have security?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, dude, Justin and I carpooled, and when we rolled up and we saw all these dudes in suits, I was like, oh man, what are we in for here? But they were all like lovely and very nice and accommodating and friendly. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Justin and Araceli, a lot of people in the chat are congratulating you all on all of the interviews. How did you guys feel like, because I mean, we've interviewed them here, but obviously it's different when like you're in person. Like, how did you guys feel about the interviews? And also like, who were like some of the people you know, your favorites that you talked to?
Go ahead, Araceli.
I was really... there were some people that I had we've interviewed before, some people we hadn't. We haven't had, and I'm kind of shocked that we haven't before had, I think we should invite him on, Remington Hoffman on, because his storyline is probably going to pick up in the next month or two. I think we should have him on. He, you know, I was kind of shocked at how tight his bond already is with Victoria Grace, who plays Wendy. There, it was fun. It's, you know, you guys saw a lot of the interview stuff, and if you, I hope that our positive energy came off on the screen, because that's exactly how it felt behind the camera when we would talk to them before and after. You know, if they were, there was a lull in between when they were going to go to a next interview, we would get a chance to talk to them. I know I got a chance to talk to Deidre, to talk to Leanne. She was all proud of her accidental peacock outfit. It was just the little stories and the little tidbits we got to see of them behind in the camera, and that they were just so open with us. I think we got there and we didn't know what to expect of the set, because we weren't informed of too much. We kind of knew what, you know, what to equipment to take and what to we knew the general outlook, but we didn't really know what the pace of the day was going to be until we got there. And so then once we got set up, we realized, oh, this is actually pretty easy. You know, people came in, people came out, you know, people didn't have too much extra time, but it was just, like Michael said, streamlined. Everything was just smooth. No, there was no lull, but at the same time, no one was rushed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I concur. Honestly, but our interactions, I think I speak for everyone, they were just lovely, really. Mm-hmm. Honestly, from start to finish with everyone. And like Arisa said, we actually got a lot of really great some one-on-one/ downtime with people. And everyone was just really happy to be there. It wasn't a droll. And for some of you who don't know, they spend a certain portion of the time doing interviews and a certain portion outside with the fans who come and see them. And there was no one was lagging. No one was, you know, like I said, it wasn't a chore. Everyone was just really excited and happy to be there. And I think we were feeding off of everyone's energy as much as they were feeding off ours. And everyone was great. All, you know, we were in with one sort of press room that we were working in, and everyone there was great too. So it was just, it was a really, really great experience. We got some, the stuff with Jack A was great. I, you know, certain people, you don't know how they're going to be, if they're going to retain their personality in person and how that's going to come across, but she was amazing. It was great to be sort of remembered by people. Sometimes you do these interviews and you wonder if you have a lasting impression. And when people sort of, we've had a few people sort of run up to us and greet us, and it was great. It was like, oh God, we get to see you in person. And like Abigail Klein and Judy, of course, is always, Judy Evans is amazing. And Patrika and Stacey, of course, who we know somewhat well. And yeah, it was just, it was, yeah, just, I can't speak enough about how great an experience it was, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we continued the party on Sunday.
Yes.
We did.
but that was just gross.
Yeah, they, the performance of the day players on Sunday was really great too, and there were a couple of stars that like came out to it, and it was great. It was a great time. It was weird because like it was dark and it was like 12:30, so we were trying to adjust to like it feeling like a nightclub rather than like, you know, like something during the day. But you know, but it was great. Their rendition of Let It Go is
is it took great. Me a second to realize what that was.
Yeah.
I thought Watermelon Sugar was your favorite number.
Watermelon Sugar became it was my favorite until like you guys informed me what Watermelon Sugar is referring to, and I was like, really?
That's what it funny. Is? Thing that was ever hilarious. For those, yeah. So basically, Tony found out in the middle of the song what it was about,
and my whole mood and face changed. And then, of course, you know, Brandon Barrage is like, "Do you want a taste?" And we're looking at each other like, "No, no, we don't. Yes. We don't. We don't. We don't want to taste." How was it MCing Day of Days, Tony? Thank you guys so much for asking. It was such a since I had to lead it into myself, I'll talk about that. It was actually really fun MCing Day of Days. Like the fans were a lot of fun. I got to interact with them all throughout the day. And a lot of them were just like ecstatic to like be there and meet people. And you know, I had like, as I was calling everyone onto the stage, like first thing in the morning, you know, I had my like little interactions with everyone, and everyone was different. And, you know, I think seeing Martha Madison and realizing just like, how long we've known each other, like, and just the full circle moment. 'Cause when she got on Days, she was also a fan of Days of Our Lives. So for her to be on and playing Belle, like that was a thing for her. And then, you know, we were talking in the press room and she was like, you know, I thought about just like your journey and, you know, how like crazy it is. And I'm like, yeah, like it's pretty wild to go from a fan of the show to, you know, hosting these events decades ago. And then like doing background work on the show, finally being on the show, and now like emceeing Day of Days. So it was good. It was a great mm-hmm. you know, moment in time. Yes,
and Tony, we did get to talk to a lot of the actors about you, about what was going on, because as you said, we were up in the press room, so we didn't know what was going on downstairs. Mm-hmm. And they were all like, oh, Tony's doing a great job, you know, mm-hmm. it's running so seamless. There were a couple, I don't know who told me, somebody told me, yeah, they say that they like this guy better this year.
Yes, that was the talk of
there were a few people who
it's
told
a
me
different
that.
Experience when the person hosting is actually a fan of the show and knows the history mm-hmm. and can chat about it and not just, you know, say the same thing over and over again and then read questions, Q&A and hand out prizes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And shout out to our supporters who were there, who mm-hmm. recognized us and came up to us and introduced themselves. A lot of them are in the chat, and we recognize you from the chat, or you gave us your chat handles. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was great to meet you and spend some time and yeah, get a face to face with you.
See guys, we do make an impact every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Dish and Days.
Oh, they just Googled what it is.
I asked.
I apologize for what's about to happen to your search history.
I still I'm just like, okay, all right, Harry Styles, thank you for that. All right, well, hopefully Day of Days will be back in 2023 and we'll all be there to cover it, to MC it, to have another great time. But we got to get to what happened this week on Peacock's. Oh, and shout out to Peacock and the folks at Days. Thank you guys so much for having us. Thank you so much for having me. We had an amazing day. And thank you to Michael Mattis for making sure all the videos were posted and had the lower thirds and sounded great. And, you know, thank you for all of that, all the photos and everything. So kudos to Michael Mattis. I mean, even though he gave himself a shout out, I want to make sure I give you a shout out.
I mean, sometimes you got to give yourself the shout out.
No, oh, trust me, I know. I did it here. Because if you're not going to do it, who else will? But no, you did it. You did an amazing job. You did an amazing job. All the pictures turned out really well. So
yeah, I thought they turned out pretty good.
And Tony was part of my viral moment this week, too. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, for those of you, James Law Jr., my chocolate twin, is in the chat room. I totally forgot. You guys, for your full soap opera fix, head on over to JLJ Media on YouTube. He covers Bold and the Beautiful, Young and the Restless, and General Hospital. I went with him to, I promise we're going to talk about this week's episodes of Days. So I went with him to Prospect Studios, where General Hospital is filmed, because some fans purchased an airplane to carry a banner for these two characters. Mind you, I don't watch General Hospital, so I had no idea what was going on. So I'm just there to you know, support and also go to lunch with James and Walker. But it was so surreal to see this plane like flying around Prospect Studios. They were out there. It was definitely a moment.
That ain't cheap, guys.
It sure ain't. And it flew around for 12 minutes. And then after 12 minutes, that thing said, shoo, and started heading back. So,
oh my God. Yeah. Wow.
And thank you, Nomi, for saying this, because there was some discrepancy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
There was that moment.
Yes. I just wanted to be known. It wasn't me, it was him. And there's video to prove it.
In case you're wondering.
But you would have gladly.
You
would have gladly.
I was standing there, you know, being me, minding my business, doing the job that I was supposed to do. And because Billy Flynn is my best friend in the whole wide world, we had a wonderful moment, and he's welcome.
I would have gladly. Okay. I'll say that. Billy Flynn, who was best dressed, actually, one of best dressed, hands down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
those. I really liked those pants he had on. I think I could pull it off. Maybe if I, you know, I think I could. But I was like, all right, Billy, like, okay. And you know, I don't give Billy kudos that much, but I had to give him kudos.
Mm-hmm. Well, after that kiss,
yeah,
you better give him kudos.
Anywho, what did you guys think of this week's episodes of Days? Not baloney. We went wrong there. Someone said, laugh out loud, Tony and Billy, hashtag baloney. Oh,
no. Like the lunch meat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
what did you guys think of this week's episode?
This was a decent week, I thought. We had a lot of stuff happen this week. I thought it was good.
Yeah. You know, I felt like it felt like classic Days. Like, especially the moment with Steve and Kayla, I was like, huh. Like, it kind of like, you know, piqued my interest a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a good week. There was a lot going on. We got some really good progression on some storylines. Mm-hmm. And some that I wasn't so keen on had like a few good moments where I was like, okay, this is, it's like certain characters are keeping me interested in the story, even if I haven't been such a fan of it.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you, Justin. Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's some storylines I've been very, very, very vocal about. Like, when is this going to end? But then we got some actually good moments this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's break it on down, everybody.
Hold on.
Oh.
Remember? That's a problem. Yeah. And, okay. And we will not be here next week. So, in honor of the holidays, I have to wear this.
Okay.
The watermelon hat.
it's turkey lurkey time. At what point in life did you say to yourself, Araceli, I need to purchase this turkey hat?
I don't know if I'm the one who purchased it, but I always end up wearing it.
I love it.
Why is it limp?
It's gonna fall. It's not.
Needs a kiss from Billy Flynn is what it
needs. Yeah.
It's a dying bird.
Okay. All right. Here we are, everybody. It is now time to start.
Dish and Days.
I think I was late on that one. That was my fault. I'll take the blame on that. It's fine. We're gonna set it and forget it anyway. All right, y'all. Let's start with the first storyline, which is Chanel, Allie, Paulina, Sloan, basically Chanel's murder. Mm-hmm. I will say this. I am very interested in this storyline. Mm. I thought finding out that the woman was Sloan's mother, mm-hmm. the whole affair, which seems very like it seems like that's the beginning of like how Chanel evolved, because mm-hmm. it like I wasn't surprised, like it made sense, because mm-hmm. Chanel has always just kind of, when she entered Salem, she was that girl. She was like, yeah. You know, she knew how to use what she got to get what she wanted, right? But I think this was kind of like the beginning of that, you know.
Yeah.
But it was like I was just so interested, and especially when Chanel started giving details, I was oh, so this is how it happened. And but then at the same time, I was also like, I don't think she murdered her.
No,
or killed her. It was an accident. It was definitely an accident. And in true daytime form, no one like makes the phone call and goes, well, this is what happened, so that it settled back then and someone could say, no, this was not premeditated. This was an accident. Mm-hmm. And then everyone moves on with their life. Mm-hmm. But it was all just so interesting. And even how Sloan found out that, you know, the mom didn't commit suicide, but this is what happened. And she found out before. It was just all like, mm-hmm. I need more. I need more. I need to see how this plays out. How did you guys feel about it?
For me, I actually called it maybe a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple of us did, that Sloan was the client. I didn't foresee that she had a connection to the murdered. But I kind of assumed she was the client the whole time. But mm-hmm. I like that it's convoluted. I like that, like we said, it was an accident, but it was also a cover-up there, and that's what's mm-hmm. feeding Sloan, is the cover-up. I think if it was presented to her, you know, I don't know how many years, this would have been like, what, 5-6 years ago, whatever. Mm-hmm. If this was presented to her as it happened and it was sort of dealt with at then she wouldn't have anything to go on, or she wouldn't have anything to sort of seek revenge on, I guess. Or she could, but whatever. She wouldn't have this sort of evidence. But the fact that there was also a cover-up is what makes it intriguing for me. So, yeah, I mean, it's you... You recognize it's an accident from Chanel, but at the same time, do you really blame Sloan? I mean, your mother's dead. This is someone who, quote unquote, killed her. Like, is she justified too?
I understand her anger about it. Is she dealing with it the right way? Mm. No. Right. I had thought that the last time we did a show 2 weeks ago, I said I thought I knew who the client was. I thought the client was Melinda Trask, and this was some kind of way for Melinda Trask to get back at Paulina for strong-arming Paulina about Lonnie's deal. Like, back in that she found out about, and that either Sloan went to Trask with it, or Trask found out and had Sloan do her dirty work to try to keep her hands clean. That's what I thought. So this was kind of a twist for me that, oh, there was no client. It was me all along because your daughter murdered my mom. And then you managed to cover it up and make it look like a suicide. So this was kind of it was a nice twist for me. I was like, oh, okay. The only disconnect for me is that this kind of somewhat mirrors what we went through with Lonnie less than a year ago. Like, was it a crime? And she's you know, Chanel has yet to be punished for it. She's just being held. And then it involves people we don't know. That's the only disconnect for me, is like, we didn't know the wife or the husband and the mom and all that. So like, the investment in those characters is like, whatever. And even Sloan still knew.
Yeah,
it's not like she's been on the canvas for a while. So that's the only disconnect for me. But I thought it was a really good twist that I thought it was all told very well too.
Yeah,
I think they had to give a reason for Sloan. You know what I mean? Like they had to, because if they didn't, she just would have been like the lawyer around Salem, who's like having sex with Alex. Yeah, and I think they wanted to do more with her. And I think that I actually thought, and I think a lot of people thought that she was going to end up being Chad's sister.
Cousin. The last name.
Yeah, because of the last name. Yeah. But no relation.
Right. Because
that would have been interesting to tie her to him. Then you could have some conflict with him if this was like his aunt or something. You know what I mean? Like,
Cause like, isn't Chad's his mother's name is Melinda Peterson, and she was a call girl with Kate.
This would be this would be the dad's name. His stepfather's name, actually. Cause the dad was Peterson, not the mom.
I thought the mom was Peterson.
She was, she was Woods or something like that.
Yeah.
The dad
was right.
Oh. Remember, the dad used to be the DA for Salem.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I thought it was something like that. Christian just said it was Madeline
Peterson
is Chad's mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's her married name. Madeline. Because she was, her original name is Madeline Woods when she was a call girl. Peterson is the dad's name.
Yeah, so it was, it's confusing. Yeah. But anyways,
it was going to be related, whatever. that's right, Madeline Peterson Woods, got it. Yeah. I get what you're saying, Michael, that like, it's very reminiscent already of like, now you got two daughters who were like somehow involved in some sort of murder or something like that.
And that wasn't intent. It wasn't like first degree intentional murder. It was, you know, Lonnie was self-defense. Defense of Paulina, but self-defense. Mm-hmm. And then this one was somewhat self-defense because according to Chanel, the lady lunged at her and she was just defending herself and happened to,
Too close to the thing.
I think John Del Rey mentioned it somewhere in the chat that Raven did a great job.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I actually like the way, you know, what you feel a disconnect in the story, Michael, I actually like, because I think there is a conversation to be had about why Paulina uses her money. She keeps trying to use her money and keep lying to get her daughters out of these situations. And how that does not make her, you know, I'm sorry, it doesn't make her qualified to be an elected official.
Who, Paulina?
Yeah. Like, you can, like, we love Paulina, we stand Paulina, we love her and Abe together, but there's a tough conversation to be had of, like, if you're using your power and your influence to get your kid out of a nasty situation, then should you really be in elected office?
Yeah.
I mean, just because a lot of people do it doesn't mean you should be.
yeah, exactly.
And then the second part of this is that from the, you said you felt disconnected because we don't know the other people, which are Sloane's parents in this situation, who are now, both now dead. We now know. I don't think we're supposed to know them because based on what we have, we now know of them, what was revealed this week, they were terrible people.
They didn't sound great.
They were terrible people. They obviously raised a hard-ass daughter. who yes is traumatized but also does not have a very good moral compass. It is described that her mother was possibly in a similar way was mm-hmm. yeah we don't know this woman. She does not come off as entirely sympathetic, and the father we should have no sympathy for that man because every single thing that Chanel described, there is a word for that, ladies and gentlemen. It is called grooming. Mm-hmm. It is a classic case of grooming where a person out of authority, whether it be a teacher, a boss, somebody in that capacity, will give you special attention, will make you feel like you're special, will give you extra tutoring, extra time, and then they pull you in, and then it develops into a sexual relationship. That is called grooming. And it doesn't matter that Chanel was an adult. She was not in the position of authority, and he was. Mm-hmm.
I think the dad's messed up, of course, but I don't know about the mom. I mean, she confronted a woman who was sleeping with her husband. I mean, I don't know. She seemed aggressive, but I mean, I don't know if I'd say she's a bad person.
Her anger was misplaced. Yeah. I think that Yeah, there's no right way. There's no right way to handle a situation like that, but there is a wrong way. And calling out, you know, a young girl. I'm sorry, a 21-year-old is not a fully formed person yet. You are still you're still young at that point.
21 is pretty formed.
Have you
You're fully formed, but do you make the best choices?
People in their 40s and 50s and sometimes 60s still don't make the
We get that. It's person dependent, but there's an argument to be made. If you're still in college, if you're still in a protected environment, if you're still living off your parents' money, you're not fully developed. You're not an adult.
But does... You mentioned that like if he was grooming her.
Yeah.
I mean, could it not have just been, you know, a young adult who just so happened to fall for their professor and vice versa?
Not the way that she described it, because if she described it as she had already been interested in him and thought that he was handsome and wanted to pursue the relationship, that's something different. But the way that she described it was she thought that he was nice. She didn't have any romantic interest in him right off the bat. She thought that he was a nice professor. She made the comparison of the way that he treated her to the way that her mother treated her was also a very giant red flag. If you don't go into like a healthy adult relationship comparing them to your parents.
True. I think for me, I just hate this notion of like, everything is leaning towards the like a grooming, an assault, or you know, all that. Like
there's no assault.
Just like, you know, not saying that this was assault, but I'm just as she was talking about it, I just thought it was, you know, one of those situations where like you just kind of fall into something and then realize like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm choosing to take it as that until I listen to it again. Cause I just don't always want it to seem like it was any relationship in this way is someone taking advantage of someone else.
I'm not saying that every relationship like that is like that, but the way the details that Chanel gave, that is what it is. She was very specific about the words that were chosen.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that.
That's what it is. And in any case, I'm sorry, if you're a professor, there are rules.
Well, yeah, I mean,
professor, a teacher, there is no gray area there. I don't care if you're of legal age, if you're someone's teacher, no.
What?
Oh, because they're trying to figure out legalities.
That's because it happened overseas.
Everybody and Bell made the point of like, just Melinda Trask actually have any jurisdiction in this case, right. And you technically, I think, can if you get permission.
Yeah, she doesn't, but she got the permission from them to question her, because again, Melinda Trask is looking for a win. And what Melinda Trask has yet to realize, in Salem, the people who win are the people you try to accuse, because they all gonna end up getting out of it in some fashion. Yep. So there's that. Okay, some people are like a Cleveland 216 kid. If you're someone's teacher, no. Listen,
no.
We've all had crushes on teachers.
Yeah, but. That's that's not the same thing as a teacher having a crush on you and then acting on it.
He was a dog anyway for cheating on his wife. So.
Yes, exactly. This man gets no sympathy.
I mean, this is all true. And this is also fiction, but however. all that to say, it's a very interesting storyline.
I'm curious, because it did happen overseas. They're allowing Melinda to question her, but then I'm just curious what this is all gonna lead to. Like, how can Chanel actually get punished for this now? How are they gonna make that happen? How are they gonna try to make that happen? Or is this gonna be like a blip on the radar? Like the intention of this happening? I'm that's what's keeping me into it. I want to see
how
if she's actually gonna get if they're actually gonna have to go through like a trial, like every if it's gonna be like Lonnie 2.0, where there's gonna be like a trial and a all that.
See, I'm getting the idea that because we had the Lonnie situation, this is going to fall back, I feel like, more on Paulina and more on Chanel outside. It's going to affect their outside lives, and maybe Paulina has to give up the governorship or Sweet Mints goes under or something like that. That's what I'm thinking, just because it would be another retreat of Lonnie if they would do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we think we know Chanel isn't going to prison. We don't know, but I feel like it would just be, like you said, Lonnie part two if it happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I like you, Michael. I understand Salome and what she's doing, but it's also kind of like, well, girl, you couldn't track Chanel down and then just like ask her like what happened. Like you had to like go about this way and really like, did you have to find someone to blame for your mother's death? You know what I mean? And like you were, and it almost seems like her and Chanel are around the same age. Mm-hmm. Because she said she was in law school.
Obviously, then she would be maybe like, yeah, she would maybe be like 2 or 3 years older than her then.
Yeah. So, well, whatever, Salome, because she had your man too.
Right?
How about that? How about them apples? Oh, God. I would be that friend. I would be that friend that's like, and that's why she had your man. Mm-mm-mm. But with this though, also comes like
the watermelon was sour. Boom boom.
That was a great callback though. It was a great callback. Great callback. With that though comes some PR stuff that Stephanie and Chad are trying to handle, which brings in Gwen.
I love me some Gwen. I love it.
Sometimes I feel like Days does this thing where, like, when they don't know quite what to do with someone or they just need to give someone a job, mm-hmm. they somehow end up at the Spectator.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you have to wonder, like,
yeah. But like, Nicole was an investigative reporter when she came back to Salem, and like, yes,
oh,
she
yeah.
was an investigative reporter. And then Will needed work, so he was a reporter.
Mm-hmm. Will was, yeah. Abigail was when she, yeah. it's just like, yeah. is there anybody who's actually been to journalism school?
Coincidentally, like, actually, if I'm remembering this correctly, Abigail worked in PR.
Close, but not. Yeah.
And then she moved to journalism. So at least she did it.
As everyone does, you know. Yeah. Everyone who works in PR is a journalist. Yes. Like.
But I also think it's more so, I need to really understand. I know that Sloane is trying to avenge her mother's death, mm-hmm. but why in such a way that, okay, well, now I was going to say this and then I realized why, because Paulina covered it up for Chanel, so she wants both of them to go down
mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
it. But I don't know, it's just, I'm now feeling what you feel, Michael Madden. Like there's a slight disconnect. There's like we have connected all the dots and then we come to two and we're like, is it this way or that way? Like, mm-hmm. where are we? So I think maybe as this develops a little bit more, then maybe we'll understand yeah. more.
Yeah.
I also wonder too, just to put a button on it, I also wonder if Sloane actually thinks Chanel will go to jail, or if this is more like, I'm going to put everything out there. Because remember before, she wanted money. Now, who knows mm-hmm. if she was going to take the money and then turn over the evidence as like a
oh,
big
probably. Review?
Probably. But part of me, like you said, Tony, I don't know if she thinks the case is strong enough to put Chanel in jail, but she's going to hit them where it hurts, and that's exposing
yeah.
them. Yeah. So maybe her end goal may not be to have her behind bars. It may be to just make her hurt some way, somehow.
Yeah.
But this was the first week that I felt like Stephanie might have actually been earning her money, because up until this point, I was just like, what are you doing here in this campaign? Because clearly you do not have an eye for politics. You don't know how dirty it is.
She's there to do PR.
Yeah, but but part of it is anticipating problems like this. Not playing catch up. And so this is the first week of watching her and Chad strategize. I was like, oh, okay. I'm seeing some movement here. Like you look like you know what you're doing here. Mm-hmm. And then Chad going to Gwen, it was kind of like this weird thing of like people that I didn't think I would sympathize with this week. I did, because Gwen wasn't doing anything out of malice this week, and she wasn't mm-hmm. looking at Chad like he was crazy. She was basically saying, like, I'm trying to do a job,
yeah,
which is to report the truth.
She don't know how to do that job.
No, she doesn't know how to do the job, but she knows
the basic job.
No, yeah. but she knows the basic tenet of it, which, like, if she called Jack. Well, if she called Jack, I'm saying if she called Jack, he would probably agree with her that she can't just sit on a story.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like that.
But she also can't just like have Sloane send her a file and go, "Oh, this is the truth."
Oh no,
like,
she kind of
needs to dig into it more.
Exactly. So she did.
She was ready to go to print.
No, but she made a good. Wrong. I think no, but I think she ended up making a good compromise with him, where she was like, "Okay, I see Chad's side of it. I definitely see the where I could definitely find the resources and the source material to publish that story. But at the same time, facts landed in my lap, and I'm going to
You're saying facts landed in the lap. She doesn't know if those are facts.
So then, it gives her time to verify them.
Well, she needs time to because she was ready to go to print.
Yeah.
2 minutes after she received the email, she was ready to.
I do think that she should have called Jack. Her next phone call should have been to Jack to say, like, can you take a look at this for me? Is this real? How do we verify this? Blah blah blah. So, like any good reporter does. So, but at the
any
same
good
time,
reporter does.
Yes, but Chad requesting that she just sit on it was and forever never publish it is not realistic.
Yeah, that's true.
I had to move my bang.
So it was. Well, I felt like it was a good compromise.
Also, we the audience know, even if she doesn't know, it's she has a right to. I mean, they are true, so the documents are.
Well, here's the thing. Well, I'll concede to Tony on this one on facts. Whatever is in the police report, it seems like from the details we were given in the police report, what Sloan is going off of is Chanel's initial statement where she says, "It's my fault. It's my fault." That can be taken very many different ways. In it, she was in shock.
It's her fault because she had the affair.
Yeah.
And got she felt text. Guilty for the affair.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
What she,
yes. she meant the whole entire situation.
Like if the affair didn't happen, then the mama would still be alive. Yeah. However, the mama shouldn't have texted her to come to a rooftop. The mama should have stayed at home and confronted her husband about it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it's like
her husband.
So that goes to Belle's point of like it in a court of law, it's not always about
her husband.
It is not always about facts. It's about what the story is, what can be proven, and the truth is, we don't know the details of the police report, but if we're to believe what we heard this week, there's pretty much no evidence that Chanel pushed this woman. There's no actual evidence, evidence that the woman was pushed off the roof.
From what it sounds like, back then, Chanel should have been questioned as to the death of Sloan's mother. Mm-hmm. And once described what happened, then she probably could have been cleared back then.
Yeah.
I think also in true Paulina fashion, she sprang into action quicker than she should have, trying to cover up and do this. And while it's just kind of like, but how is she at fault? Sloan is like, somebody's about to go down for this because my mama didn't off herself. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
The story will be interesting. I'm glad Sloane has a little more steak, and not as in the meat, but a little more steak in Salem. So we'll see. But the mama should have asked her husband about Chanel.
Mama should have went after the husband,
and not met her up on the roof, away from the ledge. Before we move on, because they're a part of this too. And also, can we just like, Leo made a mistake. Can we let that go?
Yeah.
Can we let, I mean, he didn't know what was going on. Let it go.
See, all the people that we normally don't feel sorry for, we sympathize with this week.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Stephanie and Alex, thoughts?
Cute. Don't be making out while you're babysit. Like,
please don't do that.
The making out while they were watching Henry, I was like, really, guys? And then the way they were like, the puppets, maybe we should kiss.
I didn't mind the puppet show. That was innocent.
I just thought it was, Stephanie was trying to get her record scratched through the puppets. And I was like, you're babysitting.
Not the record scratched through the puppets.
Maybe we should kiss. I was like,
that was a little weird.
I don't know. Maybe wait till you're done. That was my thought.
I will say that we knew the puppet thing was going to happen when Allie was like, but Chanel wasn't here to play the puppets and I had to play both parts. And so we knew that a puppet show was about to come. But I knew that Stephanie had some sort of attraction to Alex. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the coming off as the playboy and was very reminiscent of her ex, which she explained. That's why she was like mm-hmm. not having it, yeah. right? But she could not resist, especially when he went to bat for her mm-hmm. and like, you know, protected her from when she snuck in the first time and then stole the file. Like that lit up her watermelon sugar high.
Oh, there we go.
but and listen, and I know that Chad is too soon, but I'm curious to know, who do we root for? Are you rooting for Stephanie and Chad, or are you rooting for Stephanie and Alex? And also, if you're watching this and you're in the comments, give us your thoughts too. Stephanie and Chad or Stephanie and Alex?
I can't say I'm one team or the other yet. Mm-hmm, I'm kind of in the middle. I do think it's a little early for Chad to be jumping into a relationship, and he knows that. But I do feel like he's almost a little bit torn. Like, he knows it's too soon, but he does feel that attraction clearly. But he does seem to at least express that he's in a healthy mindset about him not being too early for him to jump in. But then oh. Alex and Stephanie, I didn't like the way Alex was kind of aggressively mm-hmm. pursuing her towards the beginning, and he rolled it back. He did. Mm-hmm. And is being, you know, more respectful of her. And even though he still is clearly, has a strong attraction to her. So I can't say, I want Stephanie to get hers, you know? So mm-hmm. whichever, you know, she's cool, you know, but I can't say I'm on one team versus the other yet.
I feel like if Stephanie went with Chad.
I'm team Stephanie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel like if Stephanie went with Chad, I feel like she's an Abigail replacement. Mm-hmm. And I think that's too soon. I like that she can. I feel like Alex and Stephanie are like a classic soap couple, where the good girl tames the bad boy. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. think about it. Hope and Bo. Mm-hmm. Steve and Kayla. John and Marlena. Victor and Maggie. You know, and they all had this, like, you know, bad boy image. But, like, I mean, maybe not so much John. But, I mean, he one of his personas probably did.
He toned it. Toned it down as much as he could.
Yeah. Anyway, Araceli and Justin, are you guys rooting for anyone or the other? Or?
Stephanie and Alex, so far, I think they're cute together. I mean, I didn't mind her with Chad when they were sort of starting something. I think it's too soon, though. So, like, mm-hmm. that sort of paints a cloud over it if they were trying to pursue something. But no, I like her with Alex. I think they've, like you said, Michael, they've mellowed him out a little bit in regards to her. And it's not so much of, you know, the chase. It's like, okay, he's recognized that she at least is somewhat interested in him, so he can calm down a little bit. And I think she can also like open herself up to something with him and actually see him for the person that he is outside of like the Playboy stuff, because that's really just a part of who he is. It's not fully who he is. So yeah.
There's a lot of Stephanie and Alex support in the chat.
Yeah.
I think we just don't want anybody to push beyond their boundaries and push beyond what they're ready for. Chad's not ready for a relationship. Stephanie was not ready for a relationship with Alex, like peak Alex. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what she had. No, he needed to tone it down and show that, yes, he actually is a really nice guy at heart. You know, he, mm-hmm. yes, he, because like that was the sweet stuff that we saw with Alex this week. Like, I know people saw that the puppet show was cringy, but the fact that he went over there, he, to check on Allie, that, you know, and this needs to be said, I think, there's no post-threesome weirdness here, okay? Mm-hmm. It happened. It's over. They're friends. Mm-hmm. And he is a good guy, and he went over there to support his friend. His friend needed a favor.
We're now getting Alex, the non-horn dog part of his personality, and it's likable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we don't talk about that one storyline to death. let's go on to the second one with Ava versus EJ. Can we just establish that Charlie is in Ava's mind?
Yeah.
I think it was established when the moment when Xander came in and he was gone. I think that was a way for them to say that, no, he's not Charlie resurrected. He's not someone in a Charlie mask. He's actually not there. He's in her head.
Yeah. I just like hearing Xander walk in and being like, who are you talking to? That made me laugh. but, you know, I like that that Tony and Anna are a part of this because I think you needed someone to kind of reason with EJ. Because Tony's like, well, why didn't you just pay the ransom? Like, you know, like, you know, it's making it a battle. But I did love seeing Ava looking at EJ like, yeah, you done met your match now.
I will say that scene between when Ava came in and that whole interaction, and I'm not condoning violence against women by any means, but that interaction with them, that extreme like high drama, was just like, oh, I was like, this is good stuff.
Well, because no one ever challenges EJ like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's right. No, she's right that it's just like EJ, you know, his he's a bully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's entitled.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. Like I was just like, yeah. But at the same time, I'm with Xander. I'm like, girl, if you don't hurry up and get this money so I can get back to my life, yeah. Like I ain't got time for these people to be locked up in the garden shed.
Xander.
On a scale of.
And to Xander's credit, he really doesn't want anyone to get hurt. He's looking at the situation like, what is going on?
His mind, in Xander's mind, he was going to take Susan. Ava was going to get paid off. He was going to get his cut. It was going to be done. But then now EJ had to go take Trip. Mm-hmm. And then Bonnie had to come strolling down to the shed. And now the whole Susan, Bonnie...
I like liking them two together, though. I like them two together in scenes.
I don't know how on board I was with the telepathy combo. Mm-hmm. Like,
it was a little kitschy, but...
It was kitschy, yeah. And I just feel like it was like an entire episode.
It did run a little long.
I was like, okay, fine. But it was a little... It was a nice comic relief, I guess.
There was way too much talk about bananas and banana bacon sandwiches.
But y'all, when she mentioned that, I thought to myself, wow, that does sound good.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. On paper, like, it may sound gross.
It may sound gross, but I was like, well, peanut butter is sweet and like bacon is salty, and then you add bananas, which are some I'm like, that sounds good. But I was just like, we really have this whole conversation. Like, there were so many things going on in my head. Like, did they pre-record this? And they're just like playing it back. Yeah. And they're just like reacting to like.
Because the way they reacted to it, it was like they were hearing it. They knew it.
Yeah.
I appreciated more the Bonnie understanding Susan, even when she was gagged.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was cute. But then the telepathy thing came up and I was like, all right, this is cute. And like, I did like the fact that Bonnie called Xander every clown name, like in the book. She called him Bozo, Pennywise. Went through the gamut of clown. I was like,
We have gone through every single clown reference that we could possibly go through in a year in like 1 week.
That's all we have. Yeah.
The rescuing of Trip.
Okay, I need this.
Peg Bundy and Steve Johnson.
This needs to be said. Have we ever, because she's been on a long time, have we ever seen Kayla as a brunette?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think she's always been blonde.
I don't even remember Mary Beth being on other shows. I don't even remember her being brunette on other shows. Yeah. She looks awesome as a brunette.
Yeah.
But this is the moment where I felt like this is the moment of days that I feel like I haven't seen or felt in a while. Because it was such a different feel, you know, to first of all, to see a completely different set. And I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then CNC.
And it didn't look like that set was like, you know, like the hospital room with some bar pictures and a sign on it. It looked like a completely new
thing.
That new set.
And then to see like Steve walking in with the slick hair, which I was like, Stefano? Right. But Stefano? but just seeing all of that and like, you know, having, you know, Kayla walk in being like, yeah, I'm the boss. You tell me where my son is. I was like, this feels like I'm watching days like back in like the 90s again.
Where
like
Jack and Jennifer would go undercover.
Yeah. Like it felt, it was fake.
It was supposed to be fake.
Yeah, it was supposed to be fake. I still love the look.
Yeah.
It was not a look I ever thought I would see Mary Beth Evans wear, and I loved it.
But also, it was so exaggerated. Like, of course, Kayla has never seen Ava like that, but yeah. I just love that because she doesn't like Ava. That's her interpretation of Ava, of like,
yeah.
I'm going to play it up, even though this isn't her. Like, obviously.
It just makes it even better.
Yeah.
But the best was Trip being rescued, getting untied, and him being like,
What are y'all wearing?
I'm like, that's what's on your mind right now? You've been captured for like a couple of days or a whole 24 hours.
You had to ask.
Apparently they changed the shirt though. Because when he got kidnapped, he was wearing a blue shirt. When he got found, he was wearing a black shirt.
Oh, that's that selfie / Lucas Adams headshot that they used for his selfie that EJ got.
At least it wasn't in front of the infamous glass wall.
They went outside. They went out to the parking lot to take that shot.
Okay.
Taking that pic? Yeah, it was so ridiculous.
It was like the whole like, oh, I sent you a selfie. And I was like, that is Lucas Adams' headshot. But okay, we'll go with it.
But it was good. It was, kudos to that. I am curious to see now again. But I also felt like this. I also felt like, Ava, girl, calm down. Because now you're like, I've rescued Trip, sent you a little photo. And now for your little stunt, it's another $10 million, $30 million into my account. And I wanted to be like, girl, you better take what you can get and get on out of town. Yeah. Wrap this up.
Yeah.
I mean, $20 million will go, well, in most places, a long way. In the Midwest, it'll go a long way. She moves to L.A., she's got like 2 years, but if she sticks to the Midwest, then, you know, just get your $20 million. Of course, EJ ain't giving it up, so.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, girl, you'll be fine. Like, $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
Girl. Anyway.
If you're wise and you have a good money manager, set you for life. She said, I'd be set for life. So, of course, EJ has to give it over first. And
she's not running the show.
They keep having this pissing contest with each other.
Mm-hmm. Charlie's not running the show anymore. Yeah, Charlie's running the show, clearly. Yeah.
You know what would be better than $30 million? Killing Susan. I'm like, shut up. Go back. Go back. Like at some point, I just want her to, like, I want her to be talking, like him talking this way, and then she just being like, get out. Go. Go back to wherever you go. Jesus? Take him back. Something.
Oh, he ain't already been a stab.
Yeah.
You need to call Lucifer for that. You need to be like, devil, come get your man.
Yeah. Of that, we actually have proof.
What? What'd you say, Araceli?
That he is very much not anywhere near Jesus. We got confirmation on that.
Well, we know that. Anyway, well, we'll see how this unfolds because something about to happen. Something about to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're on to...
that
Eric
story.
And Jada, Rafe and Nicole, mm-hmm. and Brady. What a mess this quickly became.
What a mess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I know that the Eric Nicole fans are like, yay, but I'm still like,
yeah.
But you know what? Kudos to Days, kudos to Ron, kudos to the writers for giving something to Galen. because he executed
he was great
that.
This week. Like, he was phenomenal. This is the kind of stuff. Good. Like, they can't just. I had that thought when I was watching his scenes. I was like, okay, this guy can do more than just being constant love triangles or constant, you know, storylines about his love life. Like, give him something work related. Give him something like he can really shine on, because the past couple of years it's just been like, okay, he was with Hope, well then that failed, now then he was with Ava and then that went to shit, then he was with Nicole, now that's going to shit. Like, he can do more than that.
Yeah, so like, and I feel saying, like, give him David back.
How many times have we
give
heard
him David back? Like, that was interesting. At
give
least
him it a kid. Give him something. Yeah, like what Johnny just said this week. My favorite stepfather. Hello, he has. He's more than just a third and a triangle.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I also
I feel
like
that's affecting the way that the viewers are seeing the character. Like, they're like, oh, Rafe, whatever. And it's not, you know, I'm sure Galen sees it. I'm sure he hears it. And it's like, he can do more, like, just give him better stuff.
And honestly, I saw a lot of Twitter comments on this before I actually saw the conversation that he and Nicole had this week. And I thought it was going to be way worse. I don't know what y'all were talking about. I thought it was going to be way worse. To me, it was very realistic. It was not.
It was matter of fact.
It was matter of fact. It wasn't overly harsh. No, and he could have really laid into her. He could have screamed. He could have called her every name in the book. He really, like, compared to like when Eric and Nicole broke up, that was a fight. That was a full on fight. This in comparison was tame, but it was matter of fact. And it was, and the reason it slayed so much was because of just, he got like right to the point and said, like, basically, like, you cost me time. You knew that I wasn't the one.
Or is
Tony froze.
I was like, I thought it was my screen.
Oh, yep. There we go. Is everyone good?
He's back.
Yeah.
It was just you, I think.
Yeah.
It's your repeat.
Huh?
It was you.
It was me. I was like, oh my God. And it can't be my Wi-Fi because I'm in, this all me up in here. Anyway, I missed part of.
Oh, he's gone again.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to come back to us. Even his Wi-Fi is like, oh, this storyline. You're back now, yeah.
Okay, this is a lot that's happening.
Nod your head if you're.
Yep.
You'll catch up. Yeah, you didn't miss much.
Yeah, I just like. I feel like Rafe went from, like, I knew it, I'm tired of this, to just petty Rafe, especially when he was just like, oh, yeah, here's your laptop for work, being caught in the arms of yet another man. Oh, by the way, thought that you were going to be over at Eric's, but looks like you're over here shacking up with somebody else. Like, just that whole thing was just kind of like.
And despite the fact that he did cheat on Ava. With Despite Nicole. That, yeah, I do feel that Rafe's that pettiness and that anger was completely justified.
Oh yeah,
like he's kind of, you know, whatever, a hypocrite, whatever, because he cheated too, and he cheated on
Hope. Hello,
cheated number, on Hope with Sam.
Number one Ava Stan over here during that whole debacle, and even I completely. 100% on Rafe's side on this one.
Because Nicole went into that marriage knowing that she was not into it.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Knowing that she chose him just because Eric wasn't available.
And not just went into it, but pushed it forward.
Uh-huh.
He's the one who put, like, they're married because she pushed, let's get married at the courthouse, let's do it, let's,
Yeah. I just like how real they have Jada, because Jada came in like, I'm pregnant, like, we'll talk about this, I'm going to collect my things, and Eric's like, what do you mean, where will you go? And I felt like Jada's energy was like, bitch, don't worry about where I'm going. How about you just worry about you and your little precious Nicole? How about that? Don't be worrying about what's going on up in here, because you don't want this, okay? We gonna figure this out. Sorry. That's just what I felt like her spirit said.
It was interesting that they mentioned in the scene with Lindsay, Sarah, mm-hmm. that they used protection and it failed.
Well, the protection was the birth control.
Birth control, right. They used birth control, right. They used protection, and it failed.
Yeah, was that a hint at something, or was that...
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I wonder that too. Yeah.
What are you trying to say, Jada poked holes in it? You trying to say
Jada poked holes in it? She's already pregnant.
Or that it's not Eric's, and that there's something else going on that we don't know about.
But Jada done been in Salem...
2 months, for a maybe.
Few months now.
Like if she there was a theory in the chat room that she came to Salem pregnant. Yeah. And I feel like I don't. Yeah, she would have been showing.
No, the timing would not work out well.
Has she been in Salem that long?
Worked in your fails.
Well, I mean, in real time, she's been in Salem for what, like at least 4 months, maybe.
Plenty of time for her to get pregnant.
That baby belongs. We don't need Maury. That baby belongs to Eric. Period. I actually think. Again, because when Sarah said protection, I thought condom as well. But then she said, we were using protection. I was on birth control. That's the protection that I thought they were talking about. Well, and she was like, you know, birth control is not...
There's two forms, people.
Yeah.
Did you use pills? Did you use a condom? Like, what birth control was used?
Yeah, because she didn't say she said we use birth control. That's why I thought she meant condoms as opposed to saying I.
Condoms, Rolls, condoms.
Sorry, yeah, the blonde will take the lambskins in black.
The only thing I didn't like, which I felt was like weird, was when, oh God, was it Nicole? She was insisting like, oh, Eric's going to stay with her and like he wants to be the child. And I was like, first of all, like, it's Jada's choice whether she stays with it. Like, it was just a really weird thing to say, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, just not outdated, even from, like, a soap opera, but it was, like,
they're even pretending, from, like... Even from a whole perspective.
You're also pretending, like, Eric Jada is wants that, him, though.
But, no, we can agree. Eric is that guy. I thought the same thing. I was like, yeah, Eric's that guy. He's gonna want... But then we saw, like, he was like, oh, I understand it's your choice. Whatever you decide... I will be here to support you if you, you know, decide to carry the baby or whatever. So we did see that he's not going to push it.
It's my which body, I think is very Eric. Your business,
yeah.
Nobody.
But it was like, she completely disregarded whether Jada wanted to be with Eric or not.
But I think that was more, and I also think that was just Nicole's insecurity. You know, Nicole's an insecure person.
Yeah.
That's why she makes the choices she makes.
Yeah. What a mess. Yeah.
What
capital M-E-S-S. What a mess.
But I give Jada credit for standing up for herself. Several points. First on, like, Eric insisting on, like, we have to figure this out. She's like, no, you got to go so I can process this.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no one is having a productive conversation right now. Mm-hmm. Get out so I can process this. Like, that wasn't rude to me. That was as rational as you could possibly be in that moment. And then the second part was like, why are you telling my boss my business?
Yeah.
You see the guy whose wife you're taking away. I see my boss. Why are you telling my boss my business?
I just feel like Jada lives in our world and then there's everyone else that lives in Salem.
I gotta say, it's a nice contrast because, again, we've seen this storyline with Eric a few years ago, so I'm glad they're putting a little, if they're going to repeat it, make it a little different. So I'm wondering what's in store, though.
Me too.
Yeah, because, I mean, we saw how the Sarah thing ended. It's like, okay, are we going to have a child come to fruition? And are we going to see that now because we didn't get it with Sarah and him?
Oh my gosh, we have 100 and sorry, that was great. We also we have 170 people watching us live.
Hi, 171 people.
All right. Well, we're done with that.
Mm-hmm.
More to come. But before we get into tidbits, don't forget, follow us on all social media platforms. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us on podcast stations. Buy merch. Now on the tidbits. So we have Lord have mercy. Johnny and Wendy.
Bobsy kids. Twins.
Gabby and Stefan and Chloe. I mean,
out of their league here.
They are out of their league. I get what they're trying to do, but no, you're just you flew across the world and you were there 5 minutes and you're
But she, they found them, first of all, so kudos to them for that. But I honestly thought this, because Wendy was a tech person, I thought that when she went by the thing and it was interference, and Rolf pulled out his own, like, 1980s metal detector, I thought when it went, she was going to go, oh, I mean, I'm an IT for Demerit Enterprises. It's just my phone or the like something to outsmart them. Instead you hear, oh no, what are you gonna do with that syringe? And I'm just I'm also looking at, like, you have Rolf, right, who is up in age, and you got Wendy, who is young and vibrant. You mean to tell me that this man is always able to still stick y'all with these syringes?
Well, it's just like the Gabby thing where she had him up against the wall and 2 seconds later he, like, strong arms her. And, like, I mean, it's like a running joke. I mean, when did he first do it with Hope years ago? It's like, it's a running joke now with him. He's just going to stab you with a syringe.
I just don't understand. Also, shout out to the actor who plays Rolf. We met him. Well, I met him in line at the Day Players performance at the Peppermint Club. I was like, you do a great job. Mm-hmm. He does. Well, we're going to see what happens with them. Meanwhile, in Salem, Lee is trying to figure out where Wendy is. Also, meanwhile, Gabby and Stefan keep having their little, like, almost moments.
In front of their respective others. Yeah.
Yes.
And the others are just kind of like, I mean, Lee knows what's going on. Chloe doesn't. Stefan, so Lee probably doesn't care, but.
I mean, Stefan's just doing a terrible job of hiding how passionate he feels about her. I'm like that was the running. That was the video that was making the rounds on social media. It's like, he's like, you know, you're looking at her butt.
Right. You know. But that whole thing of, like, her just, like, being back in the office and talking loud and, like, just, like, that was comical. Mm-hmm. That was very comical. But listen, we're just going to keep seeing more of this love hate between Gabby and Stefan.
But we have a deadline now. We have a wedding date.
Which he got so, like,
yeah.
He's like, you know, that was my first day in Salem. I'm like, that's why.
That's not the reason.
First, I thought, I was like, did they get married on New Year's? I was trying to, I thought it was
that. They got married in May, April.
That's what I thought, too. But then, when he said the reason, I wish Gabby would have looked at him and was like, so?
Yeah, exactly. like, we have to mark that day in Salem.
You and your mama, like, your mama brought you into Salem, so what?
Right.
Paging Dr. Araceli. Dr. Araceli.
Paging Dr. Araceli.
Yes. Hello. By the way, we got some feedback about.
Oh yeah, someone brought that up. Who brought that up?
It was Elia.
Oh, it was Elia. Yeah, of course it was Elia. I think. Hi, Elia. She's probably watching. Hi, Elia. Yeah.
Elia Cantu.
But she was going through. She was like, "I just love your show. I love what you do. I love that you make fun of the phone. I love that it's
everybody who watches the show made fun of my phone." Yes.
On a side note, Elia also told me that one of the fans who was attending Day of Days, as they were getting her autograph, said, "I know how to pronounce your name because Tony says it on Dish and Days like Elia Cantu. So I know how to pronounce your name." And she thought that was the sweetest thing. So shout out to that. That person. Oh, you know what? And I'm also, like, going on a tangent as well. If this is you, if the guy that I'm about to describe, if this is you, please Instagram me, tweet me. Because this guy was, like, the sweetest guy. After the Q&A, there was a guy that came up to me, and he was saying how much fun he had and how happy he was that I was emceeing. And he got teary-eyed and he was like, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm so emotional. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, you know, you're totally fine. Thank you so much. And he was like, but just seeing you up there and just knowing like how hard you worked, like it just, and he just started bawling. Aww. And so like I gave him a hug and I whispered in his ear, I said, no matter what your dream is, just continue to work hard. Even in those moments where you feel like you want to give up, just keep working hard because dreams do come true. And by the time I broke away from him, he was just in tears. And I went home driving and I was just like, who was he? Like, I have no idea his Instagram, his name or anything like that. So if that was you, tweet me, message me, because it was a very sweet moment.
I'll talk to you after too. I might have an idea who that might be, but I'll show you a picture of the person. I don't want to say their name in case it's not them.
Okay. I'll be giving out false information. Gwen. Anyway, but huh, what?
Gwen. He was like, I don't want to give out false information. I was like, Gwen.
All right. And last in our tidbits, Leo and Sunny.
They're going to bang.
We called this 8 months ago. Yeah.
I mean, I like that we get to see the softer side of Leo because he's not always the villain. But
Ilya!
Yes, he said this too. Thank you, Ilya, yes. He was giving us tips on how to rake in some money. Like, I love that. Oh my God.
Ilya can too.
Not $20, not the $1, not the $5, but the $20.
Okay. $20.
She really loves us. Thank you, Ilya.
Ilya, I knew she was watching.
You are the best. Like,
she's invited to my house in an earthquake.
We all coming over there.
Use your landline.
You got the landline.
Yeah, we'll take that 20 and buy you a drink or something. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, Ilya, you're amazing. I mean, she knew about us before she even got on the show. So mm-hmm. like, you yeah. know, shout out to her. And we got a chance to like just sit and chit chat. And I mean, you guys saw the pictures and everything. I mean, she is an amazing ball of just energy and joy. Positivity yeah. and joy. And what she's bringing to the character of Jada is real and authentic. And I'm not saying this just because she just gave us a super chat, but like, this is like how we all feel about her. She's yeah. real. She's like, I mean, she's playing Jada like we would see Jada. You know what I mean? Like, she's mm-hmm. just a really cool chick. So like, yeah. thank you, Ilya. Ilya Cantu. I had to like not announce her as that when I was going to say her name, because I almost did Ilya Cantu. But I was like,
yeah.
Ilya Cantu, but you know, I had to like yeah. tone it down so that way, you know, people were like I was like about to
people
start
didn't
like
know.
The show. Yeah, we knew. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, deep in my spirit, I was saying Ilya Cantu. Okay, back to Leo and Sunny. That's it. They're gonna end up doing something.
I hope not. But
and as soon as they do, Will's gonna come back and be like,
I hope that it's just tension. I hope that it's just tension because one of the things that I hate is when we get a bunch of LGBTQ characters on the canvas and they're like, oh, they're all gonna sleep with each other. I'm like, no, sometimes they're just friends.
No, but here's the thing.
I didn't say I was against them, you know, going that route, by the way. I'm just saying I think that's where it's going.
But yeah, here's the thing, to your point, Araceli, mm-hmm. it's not that. It's, let's keep it 100.
Yeah.
Chandler Massey is like, what, reoccurring on the show? Guest star on the show? Mm-hmm. So he's affiliated with the show, right? So it's hard, unless they do a recap. It's going to be hard to keep, you know, the Sunny and Will storyline going because Wilson fans are going to be upset that he's not on the canvas and that he's in LA and I feel like they're only going to be able to do that for so long,
exactly.
right?
Yeah.
It's like the same with Bo and Hope. When Bo went off the canvas, it was always like a phone call from Bo, a letter from Bo, mm-hmm. you know. And after a while, they just said, listen, Peter, you're going to have to come in because we done ran out of stuff. You just going to have to, like, wrap this up. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Terrence is available. I'm just, you know. So
not a bad alternative.
But if anything happens, it would make sense because Leo is hurt and he's going through stuff. Mm-hmm. Sonny is not with Will, with missing his partner. It'll be classic days if they do, like, get together. So
I just want to see, I just would like them to just pivot differently. I just want them to see, I get it. They used to be married. Yes, it was a blackmailed marriage, blah, blah, blah. Yes, they've seen each other naked, but I would like to see I think for the sake of the Leo character, I would like to see them expand him beyond, because like just like the week and a half that he was working for Paulina, it was so much more interesting.
Well, it was back to the original Leo. It's back to how we were introduced to Leo. And I think that's what we need to see. Matt says, imagine a relationship where the couple is apart a long time, but they're still committed to one another. Sorry, is that too crazy for daytime? Yes. Yes, it is too crazy for daytime.
Too boring for daytime.
By the way, happy birthday, Matt.
Yes, happy 50th birthday, Matt. Happy birthday. Matt and his partner, Scott, one, have been longtime fans of Dish and Days, mm-hmm. Like probably since our first year, because I still distinctly remember when we were asking fans to send videos to wish us a happy anniversary for our first year. They were one of the first videos that we got. Yeah. Since then, Scott has created Spectrum Celebrity Events, which he has asked me to host, like, their virtual events and their in-person events. And today, Matt celebrates his 50th birthday. Oh, yes, wow. That was back when pizza rolls were a thing on our show. Anytime we had guests, we had pizza rolls. That was a thing. So happy birthday, Matt, from all of us here at Dish and Days, all of the fans in here. I hope you're having a fabulous day. And with that, that has been your week of Dish and Days. And now it's time... No, not your week of Dish and Days, your week of days. It is now time to go into our segments because we still have more Dish and Days. And we're going to start with mine, which is Tony's official 3 Snaps Award.
Oh, snap!
All right, y'all, listen. I have to give my 3 snaps to Rafe Galen-Gehring. Because, is it there?
The picture? No, I don't see it.
Oh, what had happened to it? You know, hold on, Michael. Oh, I think I came in earlier and did it.
Did you put it in banners?
Uh-huh. It's all right. Did it pop up?
Pause, everyone. Just pause.
No, wait, it's just a picture of Rafe. it goes to Rafe because, like we said earlier, Galen did an amazing job with his scenes this week. And we saw a range of hurt from Rafe, from being disappointed to being sad to feeling hurt to being petty. And so for that, Galen-Gehring, Rafe Hernandez, police commissioner of the Salem PD, you get Tony's official 3 Snaps Award.
Oh, snap!
All right. And now it's time for...
Caption That!
All right, this week's Caption That photo comes courtesy of investigator calling her Emily. That's not her character's name. Gwen. And Sunny trying to get a quote from Sunny, and Sunny being like, nope, sorry. So this week's caption goes to Dylan Matthews on Instagram with his caption, Sunny darling, do you remember my peacock password?
That's a good one.
Shout out to Peacock. And Emily O'Brien herself put her hat in the ring for a caption. And Emily's caption was, Gren swiped wipe on...
It's okay, you tried to do the accent.
Emily O'Brien chimed in with her caption, Gwen swiped right on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tinder.
My gosh.
Emily O'Brien chimed in with her caption. Oh, God. You can't. When swiped right on Tinder.
We're going to get this guy. That was the best I'm going to do.
I love when they reply with their own.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And that has been...
Caption That!
All right, and now it's time for...
Those were the days.
All right, I'm taking everyone back to November 16th, 1995, where we had the birth of one of our favorite characters, Mr. William Robert Reed, his original name, William for Billy, Robert for Kate, and Reed, of course, for Austin, who was his, well, at the time, father. So we had the birth of Will. I picked this picture specifically, this from the christening episodes that we had back then, but... I love this because this little kid had the, outside of like preteen Will, this little kid, I took his name down, Sean, and it's twins, of course, Sean and Taylor Carpenter. I feel like they had the most screen time outside of like tween Will. We always saw this character. These are the sets of twins who were kidnapped by Mary. These are the ones who we always saw. And back then we saw kids a lot more on the show than we do now. So yeah, I had to give a little
shout out. He played Will for a long time.
He did. Yeah. Just
like he played Will as a baby. I think he played Will as like an infant. Yeah. He was on for like
a toddler. Yeah. Yep. Those twins were very much a part of the cast back then.
So, I remember that face. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, November 16th, 1995, we had the birth of Will, Mr. William Robert Reed.
And that has
those
been...
Those were the days!
And now it's time for...
It's a gift!
Okay, that's an interesting end of that. Okay, this week's It's a Gift goes to Miss Nicole Walker. I'm just going to call her Walker because I don't know what... name she wants to go by this
Nicole
time.
Hernandez.
Nah.
She's still married.
She hasn't earned it. With how I feel about this whole storyline.
Wow.
Yeah. Me too, Nicole.
Wow.
Not really, but yeah. Yeah. Like, not really, metaphorically, but yeah.
You got to give the fans what they want.
Yeah, no, but her face is how I feel about this whole storyline.
Well, and that was
It's a Gift.
And now it is time for breaking news. Oh, news and gossip.
Breaking news.
Sorry, that was a game that I was supposed to play at Day of Days.
That got scratched for a time or something.
No, it just got scratched. By me, because I was just like, we're good with this trivia.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're starting off with a couple of items for news this week, and I don't know which one you have first or... Got it. Okay. We have been, those of you watching, we've been chronicling Trevor Donovan's sort of stint on Dancing with the Stars. We also talked about his like sort of career defining stage fright, the one that sort of got him fired from Days, we talked about previously, and how he sort of been working on that and working through that on Dancing with the Stars. Fortunately, this week we said goodbye to Trevor. He was voted off in the semifinals, so he made it to the semifinals, which was sort of a huge, huge accomplishment from what he was sort of dealing with. But yes, him and his partner, I want to get this right. Excuse me, Emma Slater were voted off. Go check out his IG. He does a real sort of like really great tribute to her and sort of helping him really overcome some things and sort of feels like he's, you know, a new person because of the experience. But yeah, go check that out. But yeah, Trevor, he lasted a lot longer than I think even he thought or anyone else who thought, knowing that sort of dancing in public was one of his biggest fears, coupled with that, the sort of crippling stage right he suffers from. So yeah, big job, even though he was voted off, a big job well done to Trevor, who maybe now, I don't know, maybe got some free time, maybe they'll rethink sort of bringing him back to Days maybe in the future, I don't know. But yeah.
You guys say it, and then of course people in the chat say, will we like to see Jeremy Horton back on the canvas?
I would. I think we could use a character like him. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need Hortons.
Yeah. We need some men in that age group. Yeah.
Well, listen, I know that Trevor Donovan is gone, but my good Judy Shangela is still on. So tomorrow between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m., please text Shangela at 215-23-21523. Text Shangela so that she can win Dancing with the Stars finale airing tomorrow on Disney Plus. You don't even have to watch it. You can just text Shangela at 215-23, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or go to DisneyPlus.com/voting and vote for Shangela.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, this week we had the premiere of a cute little romantic comedy with Camila Banos and Mark Hopka called Sweet Navidad, airing on Lifetime. I'm sure the reruns will be airing all of this week and especially this upcoming weekend. So go check it out. It's a cute little romantic comedy. It's good to see them outside of Days. But yeah, Sweet Navidad on Lifetime. Check your local listings.
It's Sweet Navidad. Sweet Navidad. All right. And that has been News and Gossip. All right, and now it's time to show you what's coming up. You probably already seen it, but we're going to show it to y'all anyway. What's coming up on Days of Our Lives?
Thanksgivings are always awkward. One pie coming up.
Oh, wait, there's no pie?
I'm pregnant with his baby.
Fight for him.
You know I've always wanted to have children.
Have you even considered how this would affect your career?
Get out!
Oh, my goodness. That looked like some Silkwood stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I love seeing Jada just like that clip looked like I had enough of you, Nicole. Get out. Yeah. Like you are getting on my nervous. You are getting on my artery, which is past my nerves. Anyway, well, tune in to see what's coming up this week on Days of Our Lives. And hey, guys, we will not be here next Sunday because it's Thanksgiving weekend, y'all. So we are going to take time to just think about all the good people of the world and be thankful for the opportunities and blessings that have been bestowed upon us in this year of 2022 and eat turkey for the fourth day in a row. Yes. So next Sunday, we will not be here, but we will be back the following Sunday to give you a full dish of Peacock's award-winning number one hit soap opera, Days of Our Lives. Until then, you guys follow us on social media platforms. Hey, Michael Mattis. Oh. Yeah, you can follow us at Dish and Days show on Facebook, Dish and Days on Instagram, and Dish and Days on the Twitter. And Michael Mattis, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at ML Mattis. Both of them. Not just one.
Speaking of just one, Justin, where can they find you?
Find me on Instagram at Justin Lee Harold.
And maybe for a little while longer, but she may have to cross on over to the new social media platform. Araceli, where can they find you?
Until Elon Musk kills it, you can find me on Twitter at Tia323Araceli.
Just one social media. And you can find me on all social media platforms, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Lounging with Tony. I'm so excited to announce that I just hit 10K.
Nice.
You love me. You really love me. Anyway, y'all, thank you guys so much for tuning into Dish and Days. It has been a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you and your families. Stay safe, stay warm, enjoy, eat lots of food. Happy 50th birthday to Matt. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks right here on your favorite Days of Our Lives discussion recap. Dish and Days, where we serve up a full dish of Peacock's award-winning number one hit soap opera, Days of Our Lives. Peace out!
Bye!
Bye, everyone.